Just for clarity, in our Bible readings, last week it was about a runner in faith, 1 Corinthians 9, from verse 24 to 25, 26, 27. And Paul compared our lives as an athlete or a runner. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one received the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive perishable. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we have an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Then also, our text verse this morning is verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, topic this morning, God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Beloved, if you can remember last week's sermon, where the Apostle Paul compared our life with a race. And after this week's school and the starting of the school, you will probably feel this, that it's a race. No time for anything. But in this race, our focus should be on our Lord Jesus Christ. We must keep our eyes focused on him. We should be able to see his smile when we complete the race one day. The Lord is waiting for us with outstretched arms. And everything started with the Lord. He's the Alpha. And everything will end with the Lord. He's the Omega. Jesus also finished the first race and is the perfect example. And our motivation for what we do and how we act is important. And so Paul encouraged us that God has an eternal reward for those who are motivated to serve Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24, we read Paul's words, above all the Holy Spirit, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we are here, in the worship service. We do what we do because we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we live sacrificially for Jesus' sake, or serve him by serving the body of Christ, his congregation stores up treasure in heaven. Then when he comes again, we will receive the crown that will last forever. That's the crown that Paul spoke about, but also James in the first chapter. So now in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul continues his teaching about what we should do to avoid disqualification from the race of life. And I think it's such a good example. We are runners, but sometimes athletes are getting disqualified. If you cheat or do whatever you do to get disqualified. Now Paul are naming things that can take our focus away. Our focus from Jesus. They are called temptations and trials. Like a runner, we know that when your focus is on the road and not on the goal, you can slip. Especially if there's an obstacle in the road. Therefore, Paul warns us in verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. It's so relevant for us. One commentator explained this verse, the highest saint and saintest believer on the heaven and earth can stand no longer than he depends upon God and continues in the obedience of faith. He that ceases to do so will fall into sin, get a darkened understanding and a hardened heart. We will also celebrate the Lord's Supper next week. And in the form of the Lord's Supper and with the examination of the Lord's Supper that we need to do this week prior in celebrating the Lord's Supper, there are a couple of things that are described that we need to consider, that are stumbling blocks in our lives as believers or this race of life. The first one is believers who trust in themselves with their peace of God. They are believers who think they can do anything and everything in their own strength. They are like the congregation of Laodicea in Revelation 3 who said, we are rich, we don't need anything. But Jesus said of them, Revelation 3 verse 17, for you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing. Not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. There are also those who do not repent of their sins and tolerate sins. They have become like the congregation of Thyatira. And this philosophy you hear the whole time today, business is business. Church is church. And if business practices collide with my Christian principles, then my principles go. Because you have to make a living. The Lord calls to repentance. Revelation 3 verse 21 to 22. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. Remember what the Lord's Supper does. It's calling us to repentance and to seek the newness of life which God's grace can give. And so Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in order for us to remember the great sacrifice he made for us, that we rely on him and his sacrifice for our salvation. And he gave us the sign of the Lord's Supper so that we don't forget him. Luke 22 verse 19, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me. This is done to help us remember that Jesus is Lord and what he did for us. Also a sign that the Lord will come again, that we expect him, that we will dine with him in the most intimate communion on a new earth. And so the Lord's Supper that we will celebrate next week is the deepest communion with the body and the blood of Christ, the communion with Christ's grace, where Jesus redeemed us from the dominion of sin and death, not with gold or silver, but with his blood. And so the Lord's Supper is known by Jesus who gave himself for his church, and we may share in him. And if it wasn't for Jesus' sacrificial love, we were all lost. The congregation of the Corinthians lost sight of this. They believed that they could eat from the Lord's table and also eat idol dedicated food, verses 20 to 22. They somehow believed that the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper protected them from spiritual harm. It had a power in itself, these sacraments, verses 2 to 4. And they believed that they were safe regardless of their behavior and that they don't need to repent. Verse 12. This was idolatry all over again. And so Paul gave them the example of Israel in the desert. And he said, think of all the blessings that Israel had. And still they had fallen. Israel was under the cloud of God's glory on their journey from Egypt to the promised land. And during the day, the cloud sheltered them from the brutal desert sun. During the night, there was a pillar of fire. A reminder of God's glory and presence, Exodus 13, verse 21 to 22. And as Israel passed through the Red Sea departed, and they saw God's incredible power holding up the walls of the sea so that they could cross over dry land. And then they saw how God sent the water back to drown the Egyptian army. This was an amazing demonstration of God's power and love, but also a picture of baptism, Paul says, as they were passing through the water. And all of Israel was identified with Moses. The same as Christians are identified with Jesus, Romans 6, verse 3 to 4. And all of Israel was sustained by God's provision of food and drink during the time in the wilderness. Remarkable display of God's power, but also a prefiguring of the spiritual food and drink we receive at the Lord's Supper. And Israel even had the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said. And here, identifying the rock as Jesus in verse 2, the rock that followed them, Paul explained that Israel was supplied with water by the same rock through the wilderness, a rock that followed them, and he revealed that Jesus was the rock present. But despite all these blessings, God was not pleased with Israel. And because of their idolatry and their grumblings, they died in the desert. Verse 5. So Paul used these examples of Israel in his sermon. Then he warns the New Testament church, do not be idolaters. You as a church are now doing the same as Israel, making idols of the sacraments. What was the point that Paul wanted to make between the Corinthians and Israel in the desert? The Corinthians must not think that the benefits of the sacraments will help them if they are disobedient and fall into idol worship again. The disobedient Israelites who did not hold on to God did not make it, but they perished on the wilderness, on their journey. And the Corinthians who still continued with idolatry, wrongful sexual practices, and think they can stand because of the sacraments will also fall if they don't repent, come back to the Lord. Beloved, we need to realize if we sin as the Israelites did and do not repent, then we will surely perish the same way. Many years later, the Roman Catholic Church fell into the same practice and wrong thinking of this congregation. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that you are saved through the Mass, so the Lord's Supper in a sense, and through each person taking the Mass as often as he or she is able. Lord's Day 30 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we read, the Mass teaches that a living and a dead do have their sins forgiven through the suffering of Christ, do not have their sins forgiven through the suffering of Christ unless Christ is still offered for them daily by the priests. We believe differently. We believe that Christ is still present for his spirit, that Jesus is the rock. Our 1 Corinthians 10 verse 2, he is the host of Lord's Supper. And he is inviting his people to celebrate the Lord's Supper next week. And that the Lord's Supper is not an institution of people, but our Lord Jesus Christ, where he took the bread, broke it himself, and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. And he died for our sins on the cross of sufferings. And through the signs of the bread and wine, we can know that he is present. We receive the signs in his remembrance, and all his sufferings and obedience are definitely ours as we personally had suffered and paid for our sins. In faith, we see Jesus on the cross. We see how his body was broken. We see his sufferings. And when we eat the bread and wine, eat the bread and drink the wine, we also see how the angel of death from Passover passed from us as well, and our sins are forgiven by Christ for his sacrifice on the cross. This is the right perspective about the sacraments. But we need to be careful as God's church, Paul says. Like the Corinthians struggled with idols, wrong thinking, sexual sins, we are also confronted by these things in 2023. Paul's point hit hard. The Corinthian church were probably taking all sorts of liberties, feasting in pagan temples, stumbling their brothers by eating idol food, food sacrificed to idols, thinking they are safe. Because of past blessings, spiritual experience, especially baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so Paul warned them to beware. Just as Israel was blessed and had spiritual experience, they still perished. And so some of the Corinthian churches might also do if they do not repent. And we are confronted by these things as well. Churches are called to conform to the world. The threat is clear. If you don't, you will be cancelled as a church. Do not pray anymore for someone with a different sexual orientation, they say, in Victoria. Accept your sin, they say. Do not repent. Love is love, and women in offices are not wrong. That's elders and pastors. They also say, and I will preach about it this evening, that the Bible is not written for all time. Therefore, you as a church should adapt. The Apostle Paul tells us, if you conform with the world, you will certainly die. Do not put God to the test. And like the Israelites, we also sometimes grumble and doubt God's love and God's capacity to care for us, to provide for us. Why do these things happen, we ask, in the face of adversity, sickness, and pain? Instead of trust and patience like Job, we tend to take things in our own hands. And so the Apostle Paul warned against this in verses 9 to 10. And again he held the Israelites as an example to the congregation. And he said, we must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Numbers 21 verse 4 to 9 describes the incident when response to the complaining, and that's the constant complaining of Israel, God sent fiery serpents among the people. Their complaining hearts showed them to be self-focused, more concerned with their own desires than the Lord, the worship to the Lord, more concerned about God's glory. And these same issues were now causing trouble with the Corinthians. Will not yield their right to eat meat sacrificed to the idols for the sake of their brothers. These are stumbling blocks. But it's so relevant. Stumbling blocks that can take our focus away. Inward fightings. It can take our focus away from our Lord Jesus Christ. But Apostle Paul wanted to bring this point across. When there are stumbling blocks or temptations, don't take your focus away from Jesus. Rather, remember that God is faithful. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Many other men and women also face a similar temptation as you. I found the strength in the Lord to overcome the temptation and trial that is now in your life. And so the Apostle James came to a similar conclusion, James 1. And he gives advice, explains why trials and temptations happen to us. James said trials and temptations are necessary because they develop perseverance in the race of life. And it's for that reason that God gives you certain burdens to bear. The Lord never tempts that Satan does. Satan tries to kill you. But the Lord tests your faith so that you can endure. And the ultimate joy and happiness is found in Jesus. So James encouraged us by stating in verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You are looking for the crown of life that God will give to you. That's the same word that Paul said. Imperishable crown. No one ever said it's going to be easy to be a Christian. And although God bless you, his blessings come in many forms. Sometimes the Lord also takes a certain thing away. But trust in him. He's faithful. That loss can actually be a great blessing. Lord will make it to the benefit of those he loves, who he cares for. And we may not be too attached to this world. To our earthly possessions, James said. We need to be reminded that our time on earth is but temporary. And at any time you can lose your health, your job, your possessions. But it's only one thing that is certain. That's your life with Christ. Focus on that. And in the midst of trials and temptations, remember that God is faithful. That God is in control of everything. That God gives us his Holy Spirit to care about every detail of life. And when adversity and trial and temptation come your way, remember that God has not withdrawn from you. God is right there as he was with Israel. As with the cloud that followed them. He's faithful, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's a matter of trust, brothers and sisters. Give us today our daily bread, we pray. For today, for tomorrow. Matter of trust. It's a matter of faith. But the evidence of the Lord's involvement is all around us. It's by grace you have been saved, we said. The Lord has given you the promise to look after you in life and in death. Trust in God. Trust that the Lord will fulfill the promises that He has made to you and to your children and to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Lord answers our prayers in so many ways. The Lord gives the door to escape the temptation. And that's through repentance. He calls us in His word to repent when a temptation faces. That we can come back to Him. Like the prodigal son. And He assures you that you are forgiven because of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, when there is repentance. He also gives you the fellowship of brothers and sisters, dear friends, loved ones to encourage you, to call you, Matthew 18, to repentance in love. He also gives you the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, will give you the strength in all struggles so that you can firmly resist your temptations until we complete this race of life. There's a warning as well. Do not put God to the test, but run the race in Jesus Christ, Jesus who freed us from our sins, and by His Spirit we were made new. Jesus who stands at the goal and invites us, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Maybe last week was a tough week for you. Maybe you are afraid about this year. Hold on to the Lord. He's faithful. He's true to His promises. The Lord will always provide us with the strength to prevail even in the hard choices we need to make. Therefore, we can confidently place ourselves in the loving and caring and faithful hands of God. God is not absent in this world. God is constant. God is forever. And His word and His promises endure forever. Amen.